chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc, I rip to a tear. Switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, know through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Make sure you check out our website, theantimedia.org. And we're making a few changes, making the site better and trying to improve all the time. I'm also joined here by my co-host, DB Schwartz. How you doing, man? Oh, let me see if he's on here. Okay, he's having a connection problem for some reason, but we'll try to get him back on. Anyway, make sure you guys check out Ponder and XL as well. They're the guys that make the awesome intro and outro music for us, and there's some really cool independent, you know, artists in San Diego. Anyway, we're going to jump right into the news here, and this story I think is probably one of the biggest. It didn't get very much attention, but Sweden confirmed that there will be recognition of the state of Palestine. A move which is a sign of increased pressure on Israel amid worldwide scrutiny from the Gaza genocide. So, you know, we talked about it a lot on the show, you know, about what was happening with, you know, this whole invasion of Gaza. And, you know, the world was awakened to it because there was independent media coverage on the ground, you know, and that's the thing that I think was really, you know, crucial about this whole thing, was that for the first time, really, I mean, maybe not the first time, but in the most influential time, we were actually able to shed some light on the real situation that's going on. You know, so it just goes to show how important really it is for independent media and for us to be able to spread the word, whether through Twitter, Facebook, you know, et cetera, et cetera. By any means, you know, and this is what we have to get out there, is that we really are the media now. You know, and it's to me, it's also very similar to what's going on right now with the police brutality, all of the violence against, you know, citizens at the hands of an out of control police force and all that stuff. It really is a testament to the growing media movement that's out there. And I guess, you know, it's up to us really to push that to the limits, you know, bring it to the next level, basically. Because we're able to shed light on things like police brutality, we're able to shed light on what's going on in Palestine. So I guess it's important for us to continue to try to grow this movement, and we got some stuff that we're working on. That's going to be, you know, we're going to put it out there in a few months or so. That's going to really help bring the whole independent media movement back, you know, to put it in its rightful place, which is where the media should be. The media is supposed to be independent. It's not supposed to be, the media is not supposed to be a lapdog for the government, whether it's Republican or Democrat. The media is supposed to be independent. And this is really what we got to do. Otherwise, we're never going to get the transparency that we need to create, you know, social movements and stuff. And everybody knows that we need social change. We need something needs to happen where the situation gets fixed or, you know, bettered for a lot of people. But it's going to be really tough to do that without the media. You know, we got to have the media to be able to support these ideas and support the movements and stuff like that. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to, you know, gain any real big traction without having a highly mobilized, highly effective media to go along with all these ideas, all this activism and all these, you know, ideas to make the world better. Right now, it's not supported by the media because we have a corporate media, and the corporate media, for the most part, is steering the news cycle in a direction that enables the people that own all these corporations to make a lot of money. You know, and it's pretty much, you know, not, you know, it doesn't get any simpler than that. We have a caller on the line from 630. How's it going? You're on the anti-media. What do you want to talk about? Hey, are you there? Okay. Guess they're not there. I don't know if something is wrong with our phone tonight or what, because I can't seem to get DB on the line either, so I guess we'll see. So yeah, like I was saying, it's so important for us to, you know, push forward with this media movement. And I think Cop Block is one example where it really has made a huge difference, and it's brought this whole police brutality issue, power of the state issue, up to the forefront. And it kind of rolls in with this story that we have here about the guy named John Crawford, which was gunned down, I think in Ohio it was. And he was gunned down in a Walmart. And all he did was pick a BB gun up off the shelves and was walking through the Walmart with a BB gun. And someone in the store called the cops because they got scared, which I think was the first huge mistake that happened. And then the cops showed up and they basically just gunned this guy down. Like they released the security footage, and it basically shows that the cops didn't really say anything to the guy, and they kind of, is on first sight, they just shot at him and they killed him. Anyway, there was a big protest at the Walmart on Saturday, and it was some people from Cop Block, some people from an open carry organization, some family and friends of John Crawford, along with some anonymous people. And they basically did an open carry protest, which was pretty, to me, it is really like pushing the threshold, you know, of activism. I mean, these guys are openly carrying, you know, one guy had an AK, it looked like, another guy had some kind of AR-15. And and they walked and they protested and hold on, I'm trying to get this thing working here. All right, hold on. I'm sorry, we're having a weird call here. I don't know why. All right, I don't know. Hey, DB, are you there? No, he's not there. All right. They keep calling me. There must be something wrong with our phone lines. Hopefully you guys are able to hear this pretty well, but something's not working correctly right now. How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, you're on the Anti-Media. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, I just wanted to listen.
Oh, you just want to listen?
Yeah.
Are you not able to hear it on the website?
Oh, you have to go on the website, right?
Yeah, there's a website there. I'm trying. We're having a little bit of a connection problem right now, I think, though. We're trying to get it working correctly.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. We're going to have to try to figure this out. Sorry about that, guys. We're just having some kind of technical difficulties tonight. We haven't had any of these in a few months, but back to this story with how's it going? You're on the Anti-Media. Yeah, I don't know what's happening here. Sorry, guys. Still messing up. All right, with the John Crawford story, anyway, these guys are open carrying, and they just walked right into the Walmart, and, you know, they just did their thing, and no one gave them any problems. But unfortunately for John Crawford, it was basically a bunch of cops just showing up, and... I don't know, man. I mean, they just showed up and they just shot the guy, you know, and it's just a sign. It's a symptom of this overall kind of attitude shift, I think, that we've been seeing with the police and, like, the process of militarizing them. Because I think that is in one way a big it's a big factor when it comes to it's a big factor when it comes to this attitude that these cops have, where they are preeminently just shooting people and killing people and all that stuff. It gives them this courage when they have all this militarized equipment and all this gear and all this stuff. It makes them act differently. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, this is Manny from Occupy Los Angeles. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for calling in. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties, but you're called in fine. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Remember when I told you that I couldn't hear nothing and my friends had changed computers like crazy with different people and there was no sound last Wednesday? Remember I told you that?
Yeah.
You told me there was no problem on your side, but it was definitely problems on everybody's side. I mean, 37 computers in LA can't be wrong, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something we're going to have to check into. Yeah, there's maybe something wrong with our code right now or something, because we're having problems getting my I'm having problems getting my co-host on the radio, too. But how's it going, man? What do you want to talk about?
Here.
Oh, cool. We finally got you on.
Okay, well, this is the deal. You're basically talking up Crawford, which is perfect because I almost went down there to Ohio. I was actually, decided to go, wanted to go down there instead of going to, say, New York, you know, and of course never made it because there's so many things going on in different places. And it was amazing because the march was going to start on Monday, and the grand jury in those 3 days never consider even filing charges against the police officer that killed him at at the Walmart, you know. And, of course, right now the big movement that's happening is Ferguson is going to be this weekend on the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. We're celebrating our Occupy movement on the 11th here in Los Angeles with Michael Brown, you know, that got killed. And basically, you basically know about Michael Brown in Ferguson, Omar Abrego in down here, and also Isel Ford in Los Angeles, South Central, you know. And so that's happening, obviously, the big third anniversary of Occupy Los Angeles, October 11th. Then Occupy San Diego, October the 7th, which is tomorrow. And they're having a big protest down there on the 22nd, down in City Heights, and cops are just out of control everywhere. It just happening, you know. Look at South Carolina, for instance. It's just, this guy goes into the gas station and guy say, let me see your license. He pulls it out and shoots him. Luckily, he didn't kill him, you know. So that's where we're at, you know.
I don't know if you heard about the story that was just coming out of Mexico today and yesterday, but there was a big protest down in Mexico, and a bunch of students were kind of occupying some space and some buses and stuff. And
I'm from originally, so just to let you know, it was big. The big thing on October 2nd in 1968, all these soldiers killed all these people. So that was the big thing that, you know, was happening, where all these cops were, you know, they need to basically be accounted for. And some of that happened in my state, in my home state of Guerrero, because I'm from Acapulco, Mexico originally, you know. And so it's just, definitely keeping a tab on what's happening down there. That massacre is just amazing. So it's like I posted it. October 2nd, 1968, you can never forget something like that, you know, just almost like what happened in China, you know.
History is repeating itself now, apparently, because that's the big news now is that the students that were protesting thought police were coming to help them. The police were paid off by the cartels, and then they came and both killed all the students and buried them and burned their bodies. And it's starting a big thing now because, I mean, honestly, if you're going to take out the next generation, then it's anybody's a target, anybody.
Oh, yeah, that's correct. It's just, so I'm kind of glad you guys are talking about this topic. I'm big on the radio with you guys on Monday and Wednesday whenever possible. Fridays, I just let Fridays go, to be honest with you, and stuff like that. So thanks a lot, guys, and keep on doing that show and stuff like that, and I appreciate your show, okay?
Thanks, man. Feel free to call back anytime.
All right, brother. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Later. Hey, man, so glad to finally get you on. I was kind of lost up there without you for a while. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe we're finally generating attention from certain people. I don't know. I can only guess.
But
yeah, man, it's just this Mexico thing now to me, dude, like it took a horrifying turn because there's always been people that have been killed, especially innocents, but usually the innocents are just hit and gunfire or gunfights. It's never been this double crossing by the police on this level. And even the federal police now are starting to see, like, hey, we have families. These fools are going to start killing our families for fighting them. Like, I honestly think that's a failed state. It's on our border. And it's ripe to use for, I hate to use the term, man, but it will be used for a false flag just because it's so porous.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. And the border is wide open, and it's horrible what's going on down there. And a lot of times when it comes to the stuff going on in Mexico, it's from a lot of the policies that we're implementing, the crony capitalist policies and stuff, and a bunch of different things. Namely, the drug wars is what makes all that corruption run rampant down there. If you wage a war on drugs where you make it illegal and you do nothing about the demand, well, you're going to end up in the situation that you got in Mexico, where there's people dying by the thousands because of the drug war. I mean, back when the pressure was really on the cartels. Remember, they were losing like something like 60,000 people a year to organized crime related deaths because of the prohibition. And it's just like what happened here when we did prohibition of alcohol. And that's when really the mafias and all those organized crime organizations started becoming more prominent and started making more money because they got into the trafficking and the smuggling and the racketeering and all that stuff. And it's like we just don't learn our lesson. And I've seen it here personally with the marijuana trade and stuff. I mean, when California like started legalizing and decriminalizing marijuana for the most part, a lot of the organized crime, and of course not all of it, but a lot of it was based on marijuana sales and bringing the marijuana from Mexico and then selling it. And that's how a lot of the gangs and organized crime are organized and financed, is by doing that kind of thing. And when they relaxed the laws on marijuana, a lot of that disappeared, and it turned into the new economic climate when it comes to marijuana now, where it's all about the high grade stuff and, you know, the best you can get, and it's all locally grown stuff for the most part, at least here in California. And it's you can't even find that stuff that comes up from Mexico anymore. And so this to me is a testament of, you know, ending prohibition, you know, because prohibition does nothing but create more and more criminals, and it takes.
Well, prohibition's funding terrorism, and you can research this. There's actually a lot of very interesting and insightful articles going on about forensic accountants being able to trace the money lines. And it's not so hard, man, especially with the internet. Now these guys aren't that good at the computers. I'm sorry. But the people running the world are a step behind the rest of us on computers. And we're tracking and finding everything they're doing, man. And Mexico as a failed state is pretty much a pipeline to terrorism. They supply cocaine to Africa, which is Boko Haram, which is Nigeria, using the port there. And then that gets trafficked up through Saudi Arabia, which filters it to Israel and all of Europe, man. And that's a pipeline of money that's directly funding terrorism that's going to kill the consumers, which are the Western Europeans, Israelis, and ultimately us, man. And these pipelines, they're traced. They're found now. Now it's a question of what do we do? I think we're at that point now is we understand the drug war is a farce. Our generation knows that. If it ever came down to a time when we voted like from a smartphone, we'd repeal all this stuff. And I think that's what we're working towards, Nick, is getting that vote to a smartphone, because people are just disenchanted. And we got to do that, and we got to find a way to rein in the electoral process. Otherwise, it's just there's no point to it at all. And our generation kind of understands that, and it's all tied in.
Yeah, there was. We posted an article on the anti-media a couple days ago about civil asset forfeiture, or whatever it's called, and basically, the law enforcement at large in the country has collected over almost $1 billion in asset forfeiture, which is basically when they pull someone over. If you got cash on you or whatever on you, they take it. And it's almost impossible to get it back.
It's at 2.5 now, too.
Yeah, and if you add, like, all the other stuff into it, I mean, you know, all the non-cash items and stuff, I mean, it's probably a lot.
Oh, yeah. Maybe even more than that, yeah.
So, this is all connected. I mean, these guys, they make money bringing the drugs into the country. They make money incarcerating people for using the drugs. I mean, it's like it literally is a pipeline. You know, it's a pipeline, and it's unfortunately controlled by the government, or at least, you know, affiliated in some way or another. It was not too long ago when we found out that the government was providing immunity to some of these drug lords and drug cartels. You know, they were giving immunity to a bunch of these cartels and stuff, and. At the same time, they were trading those cartels for information on another cartel while letting these other cartels bring drugs across the border. basically, and they would never have to spend any significant time in jail.
And don't forget, they were arming them, and that's why Holder's gone, because of Fast and Furious, among many other things he never basically took accountability for and fixed. And I don't know who's the next person that's going to come in after that, but the cozy relationship's documented. It's exposed. Everything's out there now. Now, a lot of people are in disbelief. A lot of people are still basically buying into the comfortable and very, very rapidly fading illusion of the mainstream media, just simply because if a lot of people believed what we believe, Nick, based on the evidence we've read over many years, if it all hit them all at one time, it's too much. And I think that we kind of understand that, and that's where we could see where society would have a breakdown if these things all came to light at one time. But they've been leaking, 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 and now the floodgates are open. And there's just nothing they can do about it. All they can really try to do is pass this, whatever this was, this journalism shield law. But as soon as they do that, we're going to expose it. We're going to start a huge ruckus about it. We're going to make such a big deal about how bought and paid for the corporate media is that they're able to be protected by legislation, that it's a moot point, and that no longer serve any function or purpose and should be broken up like the monopolies they are. I mean, this opens things for the wolves in California, the lawyers here, and I know it's getting ready to go.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that the corporate media and stuff is going to fall apart on its own accord, because they've just gotten so far out of touch. And there was one thing I wanted to mention tonight on the show about Vice, and I know a lot of people like Vice and a lot of people listen to Vice and stuff. And, you know, for the most part, I think Vice has pretty decent content and stuff. However, there was a guy that got fired from Vice or whatever, and then he posted some emails and some comments and stuff that he had when he was working for the company. And basically he was showing how, you know, Vice would make people they would make the writers run their stories by the higher-ups.
Yes, hello, this is Special Agent Webster with the Federal Security Agency in Washington, D.C. I'm going to need a few moments of your time.
I don't know what that was.
Thank you. Thank you, Ronald. Thank you. You know, before he got shot, things were different, weren't they?
Someone called and played that clip for some reason. Anyway, this guy from Vice named Charles Davis was working for them, and he got thrown out or whatever. He posted some screenshots. And he's basically showing how the higher-ups of Vice are basically saying, hey, man, like, you know, we didn't like that story you wrote about the NFL, and we didn't like how you were critical of the NFL.
Aw.
And basically they're telling him, hey, from now on, you got to run all your stories by the higher-ups, and we got to make sure that it's not going to, you know, basically piss off any corporate allies. And,
so, yeah.
You know, we know that Vice is more or less being bankrolled by Rupert Murdoch and Fox, yeah, and all that stuff. So, you know,
it's Fox News Youth Division. That's,
yeah,
what it is.
Exactly.
It's trying to trick you into thinking that they're edgy. But think about it, man. How are you going to embed with ISIS? How? How did they get that footage? Why is Rupert Murdoch dual citizen? I mean, there's a lot of questions to be asked, man. They're a major, major brainwashing propaganda arm, because a lot of the youth are buying into it. Now a lot of them are not, too, and they're starting to see what it is. But this is the co-opting of the alternate media, where probably a good 9 out of 10 of them are what they would consider like a gatekeeper, somebody that's going to push you in the wrong direction. And this is just more of that, dude. It's just more of that, and it makes you think, you know, oh, I'm getting the real story about things. No, you're not. You're not. The real story is citizen journalism from that country on live stream, on a blog. They're going to go out and get an actual story, their perspective, not something bought and paid for with advertising.
Yeah, and you make a good point about the whole ISIS documentary that Vice came out with. I mean, it begs the question, you know, how in the hell did they get that kind of footage? And I mean, we all know ISIS is kind of questionable with their ties, and you know, the U.S. CIA probably more or less helped create ISIS and all that stuff. And we all know that Fox is in deep with the government and all that. It's a whole crony capitalist kind of system. So, you know, while we have to support alternative media and independent media, we also have to keep in mind and watch, you know, follow the money trail. I mean, I guess that's the biggest thing we can do is say, okay, where is the money coming from? Okay.
And which is why you can tell that Ebola's going to either just come out of nowhere and be a pandemic, in which case, you know, man, I hope everybody has colloidal silver and knows where to get some CBD oil, because that's really the only thing that's going to get you through it. But when they keep bringing it up in the media, Ebola, 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 Russia, Ukraine, sanctions, Syria, got to take Assad out, pretty much just came out and said it the other day on 60 Minutes. These are all things they're saying, and still not a peep about Fukushima, which makes me think it's probably pretty serious. And there's a lot of other things going on, man. There's polls flipping and there's world events. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt and try to look for what they're distracting you from.
Yeah, there was an article today on Wall Street Journal today or yesterday, and it was an op-ed written by John McCain and Lindsey Graham. And the title of the article is, you know, if you want to beat ISIS, first remove Assad. Anyone can go read this thing. I mean, it's a total...
But Assad's fighting ISIS.
Yeah, it's a total neoconservative hit piece, but I read a few lines of it. It was tough to read because it was just, I knew who it was coming from, and it was just horrible. But, I mean, Lindsey Graham and John McCain are openly saying, hey, you know, if we can remove Assad, then that automatically means that we beat ISIS. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about?
That automatically means that we're going to fight Russia, and we're also going to fight Iran, and probably China will get involved in some way, form or fashion, and it's not going to be good news. And you know what, that India we considered that was going to help us and keep Pakistan in line and kind of be that backdoor ally, they're not allied with us. Germany's about to sever its economy with us, and so is France of all places. So we're not going to have any kind of economy to make this happen. It's going to be a massive drone war where a major amount of civilians will get hit. And you know what that does when you hit civilians and you keep doing it, and there other countries are able to respond in kind? We get hit. And that's all the game. They don't really care if we get hit, man. That's the thing that the people that are United States citizens, that people that live here that are listening should kind of get in their mind, is that the people that lead us don't care if we get hit. They want that. They want us to get hit as much as we can. That way they don't have to deal with us, number one, when the economy implodes. And number two, they can respond with everything they got, and I'm sure it's some nasty, nasty stuff.
Yeah, there was just a report out yesterday as well about how Russia now has more nuclear capabilities deployed than the U.S. does, and it's the first time since the year 2000.
But we're way beyond that, though. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, and I mean, this is just the stuff that's on books, and I'm sure both sides have stuff that's off the books. I'm sure China already has satellites in space that are nuclear armed and stuff like that as well. But that's just stuff that that's stuff we won't really know about. The public won't really know about anyway. But it really does seem like these idiots, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, these neoconservatives on Fox News, and then all these guys that are on all the other networks that get interviewed that are basically military-industrial contract lobbyists. It's almost like they want World War III, you know, and that's the only thing that can explain the reason why they're prodding Russia so much with Ukraine and then with Syria. I mean, we've been saying this from the beginning, that this whole thing in Syria isn't so much about ISIS as it is about Assad. And you read stuff like that from John McCain and from Lindsey Graham, and it kind of confirms that for me. And if you guys remember back a few shows back, we opened up the show with a clip from General Wesley Clark, where he was talking about the elite plans to overthrow seven countries, and they've almost completed that task. Syria is next on the list. Libya was on that list, which we already overthrew. But he even said it. He's like, you know, you got Bill Kristol out there on the writing articles on the Washington Examiner, whatever news outlet that he mentioned. But this is the same thing. I mean, this is the real policy. What John McCain and Lindsey Graham are writing is the real policy. They want to overthrow Assad, and not many people know exactly why, but I'll tell you why. It's not because of humanitarian needs, because if it was for humanitarian needs, we wouldn't be supporting Israel. It's because they want to play geopolitics. They want to establish a pipeline that cuts Russia out of Europe. And I mean, this is the stuff that, you know, these guys are basically laying out there for the whole world to see. And it's upon us to kind of decrypt it and understand it for what it is. And these are the plans that these guys are just laying them bare, and that's their job.
And it's a super chess game, and it's all, you know, it rings so hollow from hypocrisy. Now, where we are, you know, I love to bring up popular culture sometimes because it really does resonate. And there's the opening of a show where the guy says, you know what, we don't go to war anymore for moral reasons. And he's right, we don't. We haven't for a long time gone to war for a moral reason, because if we did go to war for moral reasons, we wouldn't be allied with our allies in the Middle East at all, because they're the worst abusers of human rights. Yet we were so insistent to prod Russia, which, yeah, they don't have the best human rights, given. But at least there, people do have a chance at a life. They're not under a massive, oppressive, like, theocracy. Yeah, sure, it's a regime like ours where you're under surveillance and it's everything with an iron fist if you break out of the bounds of the societal norm. But honestly, if we were so insistent on world peace and an actual order coming out of this chaos that it is right now, why wouldn't we just merge with the next country that could do something about it, which is them, which has oil, get our oil interests out of there and actually clean house there, because they're the biggest threat to the whole world? That's where we know that we're not fighting for moral reasons anymore.
Yeah, and like you were saying, our allies in the Middle East, which include Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, United Arab Emirates, you know, Iraq, supposedly. These are all very oppressive regimes, man. They're either oligarchy or monarchy, and they rule with an iron fist. They have horrible human rights records. Yet we you know, basically turn a blind eye whenever they do something horrible. And if you look at what just happened in Saudi Arabia, they were just beheading people just this past weekend. And I mean, they were beheading people for sorcery and all kinds of these, like, just made up crimes and stuff like that. And these are our allies. You know, they're beheading people like crazy. They behead Christians. I mean,
if the American people could just be focused for 1 second on one of the most egregious statements of our foreign policy, which is, who are we allied with? Why are we allied with these kind of people? These aren't people we'd allow in our homes or into our country. If we did, we'd rise up with our God-given right to have arms and take these people out, man. These are not people we should be allied with. And if the people would just stop watching football for a second and realize what getting in bed with people like this is going to do to our has already done to us on the world stage and our credibility. Like, we have to understand, we're trading these psychopaths for our traditional allies that have pretty much kept the peace, and we're prodding a fight with a country that can fight back, that really should be providing us the oil instead of the Middle East. So everything's backwards. Why? Because the people that are in charge don't care if a big war happens. There's more profit, and they're already protected.
Yeah, they. I mean, the people that are going to benefit the least out of this geopolitical game, if it does lead to World War III, which is pretty, you know, apparent that that's what these idiots are hoping for. John McCain, Lindsey Graham, all the congressmen that are owned by these same interests. I mean, it's obvious that what they're trying to do is World War III. And if we're gonna, you know, acknowledge that, then we got to think about who's the group that's going to benefit the least, or who's going to suffer the most. And
civilians worldwide who have no bunkers and no food and water stored up and no arms and no anything at all. And of all the countries that are going to be in a war, we're the least prepared, we're the most vulnerable, and we're going to get wiped out clean, because who has a garden? In Russia, a lot of people. In China, people are still going to be able to go back to the garden. Can we? Nope. Like, where me and you live, if the water shuts off in 2 days, it's the city's dead. Like, we'll have mad rant chaos, and it would be just uncontrollable.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're completely right there. And even more specific, though, I think, is the group that's going to get targeted the most and hurt the most when it comes to all these wars. And if it does escalate into something bigger, where it's ground war inside of Iraq and Syria again, think of it. Who dies the most? It's the young people of fighting age, the young males that are going to get sent off to the to be butchered, basically. And if it turns into a World War III situation, then it's even worse, because, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, most of them young males, are going to be sent off to fight and eventually die for what? Just for these empires. We have a caller in from 818. You're on the Anti-Media. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, this is Manny again. Well, you're talking about the, you know, big wars and stuff like that. Obviously, you know, I've educated myself, you know, that wars are big business and stuff like that. People in America think that, oh, we're so nice, we help all these countries. You know, no, there's special interests. You go into countries to create wars because of special interests, because if this country really wanted to help, you know, countries in good faith and all that, how come they're not helping the Sudan, the poorest country in the world? Because there's no oil, there's no special interest for them down there. Now, NAFTA in Mexico City, for instance, you know, I hear it all the time, you know. The reason we are buying all this stuff over here and our houses are good, and, you know, and they say, and they're in Acapulco, the cartels say, hey, the gringos, they're our number one customers. You hear it all the time and stuff like that. They were just beheading people in the state of Guerrero. Acapulco took a big hit in tourism because they were just out of control and stuff like that. So here in the United States, they have to start, you know, you know, more alert, like this young man said about the football. If people in the United States got excited about, you know, putting a stop to this, you know, the real reason why people come down here to this country and stuff like that is you have to stop the wars. You have to stop people like in Mexico. Yeah, we fund Wall Street. It's all the cartel money coming in. We're funding Wall Street. Look at the story that happened in Los Angeles. You know, they're going down there with the money and they're bankrolling all these homes. Closures that are happening. They're trying to buy homes, you know, that the government has taken away from people, and now they're trying to buy them in Los Angeles to basically launder the money. And some people said $65 million, some people said $60-70 million. Wells Fargo, personally, I think it was over $100 million, to be honest with you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's what was that bank that got caught red-handed laundering money? I think it was HSBC or something.
JP Morgan got caught involved with Fast and Furious and financing, basically paying the gun companies to make these untrackable guns, right, with these reformulated parts from melted down scrap metal, so you couldn't tell where the hell they were from, and they were plant guns. So yeah, it was JP Morgan, but yeah, you're right, HSBC, they've all been caught. Who just paid a massive, massive multi-billion dollar fine, which, by the way, was nothing compared to the contract they just got. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people here in the United States are so naive. They say it's all these poor people in the inner cities are doing drugs. No, I'm sorry. It's the rich people and stuff like that, you know. And Hollywood could start, you know, basically set an example and all that, but all these people are taking drugs left and right and stuff like that. And don't even get, you know, started in the pharmacies. Those are the worst drugs because, I mean, doctors are just prescribing like crazy and stuff like that. I mean, you see in Mexico, you know who's moving stuff in Mexico, right? People know. I mean, you just, you know, it's like with that deal with the Kiki Camarena and stuff like that, DEA, the guy shot down there, you know. He was accused of being part of the cartel, you know, stuff like that. But, of course, the government said, no, he's a DEA agent, you know. So, you know, who do you believe, you know?
Yeah, man, and it's kind of, I guess the drug war in a way is part of the foreign policy, you know, because the drug war, not only does it affect so many people here, and it ties back in with the banks, because the banks apparently handle a lot of the transactions for all these prisons. The banks handle all the transactions and they handle the payments and all that stuff. So the banks make a lot of money from the prison industry as well. And then the drug policy, it's kind of like foreign policy, because now it's driving all of this crime down in Mexico and then further south in Central America and stuff. And it's just another example of this kind of Monroe Doctrine type of mentality where, you know, these guys, they implement policies that just don't work. And policies that forever and ever you're going to have to maintain these policies, because the war on drugs, it's not a war that is ever going to be able to be won. You know, it's not something, it's like the war on terror where, you know, it's not something where there's a defined enemy and there's a defined goal and a defined timetable or anything like that. It's a perpetual war, and all it's doing is bankrupting us, creating more enemies, making it unsafe for people, and hurting other countries, you know. And when is it, to me, it's like, when in the hell are we going to finally, you know, get a grip on all this stuff? Because obviously the whole voting thing is, it's a uphill battle. I don't know if the whole vote, I don't know if voting is actually going to fix it, but it's, to me, it's like, when are we going to finally, you know, get to the point where everyone's like, okay, this, something's completely wrong. We need to do away with it. These dudes need to go to prison. And it's time to try something new, you know.
Well, how many people? You know, how many people get strung out on just as for the Manny, for you is a good point. What you brought up was the legal drugs, man. The legal drugs have been replaced and are now basically the new crack for everybody, and they're okay. And then they'll string them along, and then they'll cut them off, right? Like they'll mm-hmm. basically force them due to this chronic pain, and they get addicted, right? They force them to keep themselves employed in crappy jobs as long as they keep getting that drug.
Exactly. So who's the biggest cartel, the pharmacies or the cartels? And you have all these tunnels and stuff like that. It's just the same thing with immigration. If this country really wants to start immigration, they would stop it. But you know what? I'm sorry. People that come from down there, they want to work down here. You have Mexico that you get paid $1 an hour. For $8, you can buy somebody. You know, for $8, an employee can work for you all day for $8, $1 an hour. I mean, that's pathetic and stuff like that, you know. And it's just that's why those countries just, you know, that NAFTA, don't buy it. People bought into NAFTA. That's for the rich people, stuff like that, for the elite and stuff like that. You got presidents or crooks that come to New York. The United States will not extradite presidents. They basically put them, they'll help them go to Switzerland and all that stuff. And that's why corruption exists. And we lost a lot of credibility, excuse me, my word in English, but we lost a lot of, basically, with Latin America, you know, in the United States, because basically when General Noriega didn't want to play ball no more, you know, they went over to his country, arrested him, and tried him, you know, in the United States. You don't just go get a, that's why the world court exists, but we didn't do that. We tried him in Florida and saw it there, because he didn't want to play ball with us no more, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a perfect example. It's like, well, there's, you know, as long as the guy's convenient for them and he's evil, because at first they were supportive of Noriega, right? And as soon, just like Saddam Hussein, where at a certain point he started working against what the American interests were, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now you're a bad guy, because, you know, yeah, we were giving you money a year or two ago, but now you're the bad guy, and now we gotta, you know, go ahead and take over your country and hang you, or, you know, give you the death sentence or whatever it is that they're going to do. Like we were saying at the beginning, if they really cared about, you know, human rights and people being bad, I mean, they would not be supporting Israel. They would have tried Netanyahu. If he ever came to U.S. shores, they'd try him as a war criminal. I mean, this is what should be happening. Just like if what's his name? What's that guy's name? You know, that war criminal, where if he leaves the country, if he goes to a certain country, I mean, they're going to hold him and try him for war crimes.
Yeah, well, you know, that it owns the Beverly Hills, you know, that basically that hotel in Beverly Hills, you saw, I mean, he was well protected, and they never took him in, you know?
Yeah. And I think George Bush even is wanted on war crimes in a certain country or a certain place. But obviously he's not going to go there. But, I mean, if the U.S. is going to act like we're some kind of beacon of human rights and we're going to be the people that go and stand up for everyone's rights around the world, because that's what they tell us. When they go and bomb Iraq, when they go bomb Afghanistan, when they go take out Gaddafi and stuff, they're telling us, yeah, we're doing this for democracy. We're doing it so people will be free. But that's obviously not true because of all the countries that they support. I mean, look at Turkey. They're supporting the Turkish government, Erdogan or whatever.
And he's one of the worst, man. He's like Mr. False Flag. He's all about attacking himself and saying the Kurds did it all the time. And the most asinine thing he did was say the Kurds attacked us and bombed himself with high advanced helicopters that they could never have. So his own people are like, come on, man, we're not that stupid. We know the Kurds don't have our own helicopters. So the guy's crazy, dude. And the whole situation is starting to get crazy. I just sent you a link, Nick, about where now the French foreign minister's asserting that ISIL has sold oil to Assad. What the hell's going on over there?
Exactly. If we really wanted to really do something, and I'm just going to make this comment seriously, you know, like China, for instance, you know, human rights violations left and right. Now, why do we pick on small countries? Why didn't we go pick up on somebody else? No, we picked on Iraq because they didn't have an air force. Why do we have an embargo against Cuba? I mean, I came from Mexico to the United States. The only country we have an embargo is Cuba. Why are we picking on a small country? Why don't we embargo these big countries? You know, I see these politicians from the United States, they go have relationships with China before they go have relationships with Mexico, and the border is just down here. You know, and it's just amazing, you know. So, God, power to your station, seriously. Love talking to you guys.
Yeah, man, we like having you call in. We always talk about some interesting stuff when you call in. But, yeah, it's just so apparent that, like, more or less, everything we've been told on foreign policy by the corporate media, by the government, has basically been some kind of lie. Almost every war is fabricated on something. And I know 9/11 is like a huge topic, and that's why people, I think, really look at 9/11 and say, hey, well, there's probably something fishy about that too, because in the past, if you look back at our track record and if you look at the history, it's the best barometer of what's going to happen in the future, if you ask me. And we've got a track record of false flags, foreknowledge, propaganda, overthrowing governments, you know, arming rebels. And that's exactly – that's the whole thing with ISIS. And staying on the topic of ISIS here and with Turkey and all that, there's a city right now under siege by ISIS, a city called Kobane. And ISIS is basically right now street by street, house by house, taking over the city. They've got about half of the city under control at this point.
Yep. And they wiped out a village called Zimrin, which of course has oil interests, but they ethnically are cleansing. I mean, what are they doing, dude? They're not fighting anybody. There's no army fighting anybody. We're bombing infrastructure in Syria. That's Assad's, because we're softening them up. And then these maniacs are going around just killing civilians, and they're not being hit, dude. Nobody's hurting these guys except the Kurds. That's it. If we want to affect foreign policy as American citizens, we should push our government to not only arm the Kurds but legitimize them, man. They're the only people that are willing to fight these psychos.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, ISIS has the Kurds pinned between in Kobane. They got them pinned between ISIS and the Turkish. And if you look at recent history, the Turks have a long track record of persecuting the Kurds. And like you were saying, they pull false flags, blame it on the Kurds. And right now, the Kurds are getting massacred in Kobane, and they're being trapped in between the Turks. And between ISIS, of course, the Turks are "quote unquote" not doing anything. If you ask me, they're probably actually helping ISIS defeat the Kurds, because the Kurds have been their problem for a very long time. And,
well, you guys said it.
Go ahead.
You guys said it earlier. You said to me, and I'm gonna just make this comment seriously. You guys said earlier, follow the money. This is what we talk in Latin America. When I go back at the universities down there with professors and different and journalists that risk their lives getting the story, undercovering the whole thing seriously in Mexico. The journalists die like crazy. Those are real journalists out there. They will risk their lives to do it and stuff like that. I hear them talk all the time. who's making money every time we bomb a country? Because who's building it? We bomb it, destroy it, and then who builds it? You know, who's making the money? So where's the money, you know? So thanks, guys.
Yep, thanks for calling in. Yeah, he's right. You know, that's what Halliburton, and that's the business model, man. That's all these countries we have, MIC countries, and let's face it, the construction or the reconstruction industrial complex is massive. And you have to understand where there's these pools of money in the world that are in the billions of dollars. These are where the tentacles of Goldman Sachs dips into, and they all feed back to the same corporate masters. And from there, they get their orders. Who the hell knows? For all we know, they're not even human. But that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, and you got to think Halliburton got what, $36 billion from Iraq in contracts or something like that. And you got to also remember, what else does Halliburton do? Well, they're the patent holder on fracking. Okay, so they basically got somewhat of a monopoly on fracking. And obviously that's the technology that they want to implement in all these countries because it hasn't been done yet, and they can unleash a massive amount of natural gas to put, they'll be able to put Russia out of business, and cut them off from Europe if they're able to take down Assad and if they're able to take down Syria, and then in a few years they'll build that pipeline. That's,
they're going to be able to force Russia into an unfavorable alliance before they tackle China, who's never going to bow down, and that's going to be the real World War III. I can pretty much assume that's what's going on right now with all this posturing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be tough to see Russia aligning with the U.S. Just because there's such a history of distrust there. I think the Russian people are awesome, and the American people, for the most part, are pretty good. But unfortunately, we're not represented by the people. We're represented by these politicians and these oligarchs that kind of give us a bad name. And they make us with all this propaganda. You know, if you look in the Western media, it's always anti-Russian propaganda in the media. If you look at the Western, if you look at the Russian-run media, it's always anti-Western propaganda. Same thing with Iran and all these countries that we've been posturing up against. And it radicalizes them, and it radicalizes the people of those countries against us. And many times it's due to our foreign policy posturing and the geopolitical chess game and all that stuff. And it really pits other countries against us. So it's going to be tough for us to build any alliance, I think, that's meaningful until we have I hate to say it, but a regime change in the U.S. because right now, the people of the world, and there was that big poll that came out, what was it, like 50,000, 60,000 people were polled, and it showed that most people in the world think that America is the greatest threat to world peace. And if you look at the polling from within the U.S., they showed that they thought Iran was like the greatest threat to world peace or something like that. So it really shows the stark contrast and the effectiveness of the propaganda, because within the U.S., I mean, there's so much propaganda, so much rhetoric, and I you know, you turn on the radio, your local radio for 5-10 minutes, and you're going to hear the guy say, yeah, America is the greatest country on earth and the most free, land of the free, and all that stuff. I mean, really, it's what that is a lot of propaganda. It's a lot of rhetoric, and rhetoric is like the foundation of propaganda. And
well, you know, just look at what we pay in tax and look what we get back. And that tells you right there we're mismanaged, therefore we're not the best.
Yeah. And, you know, we got all this propaganda. So within the U.S., a lot of people think that we have all this freedom and that we are the best country in the world and stuff. But unfortunately, it's not really true. I mean, we're like, what, the 47th place when it comes to freedom of the press. We're way back on the list when it comes to like overall freedom, happiness, and all that stuff. I mean, we got some major problems in this country, and it's.
But we should be the best. We have the best of everything. So we're not the best because we allow ourselves to be controlled by basically crazy people.
All right, guys. Great show. Thanks for calling in. We'll catch you guys on Wednesday, same time.
I'ma let 'em know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go.